Good morning. I know it's a slightly different order of service than we are used to. Thank you for adjusting and adapting with us this morning. You know, there is an old spiritual that's been on my mind as I prepared for today, the Feast of Pentecost, the birthday of the church as we know it. If you cannot preach like Peter, the old song goes, if you cannot pray like Paul, you can still tell the love of Jesus and say, he died for us all. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. If you can't preach like Peter, the song says, if you can't preach like Peter, I like to think that the original singer had Pentecost in mind. Today, we bear witness to Peter, the preacher, bringing the word to the faithful during a crucial moment of their life together. This is the moment, today is the day, when the disciples decide just who they are going to be, now that Jesus has left matters in their hands. Jesus, if you recall, was a casualty of state violence, killed like a petty thief, lynched on a tree on Calvary's Hill. But this Jesus had come back to life. This Jesus had defeated the power of death itself. And so his followers thought that the tide had finally turned. They thought God's kingdom would be manifest right before their very eyes. But precisely at the moment they were ready to celebrate, this same Jesus left them again. Before he left, however, he promised to fill every last one of them with power. Power to witness to their crucified king, power to challenge the reign of the emperor, power to cast away the veil of fear and dread and death itself. It would be easy to miss, in the middle of today's commotion, that Peter wasn't exactly the guy you'd expect to take the lead that day. The Peter we know from the Gospels was a poor fisherman by trade, a nobody from a backwater town of Galilee. This Peter wasn't specially bright or courageous. He was more likely to stick his foot in his mouth than to give a rousing speech. This Peter longed for power and recognition, but he didn't always understand the cost. When tested on the eve of Christ's crucifixion, he failed, not once, not twice, but three times. And yet the Peter we meet today is not the Peter we once knew. This Peter has come to terms with something. He's come to terms with who he is and who he has been called to be. And so I wonder today what it was like for the old Peter. Peter, the simple fisherman. Peter, the stubborn fool. Peter, the betrayer. To see himself turn into Peter, the preacher, when the moment called for it. To live into that kind of call is a choice, my friends. A choice to stand and speak the truth with courage and with love. A choice Peter made not just once, but every day thereafter. A choice we must make if we are to follow in Jesus' footsteps. A choice we must make even when we feel unworthy. Even when we feel unprepared. Even when we don't know where to start. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been feeling quite unprepared, quite overwhelmed lately. In the middle of a pandemic, 1 in 4 American workers filed for unemployment since March. In the middle of a pandemic, Black people continue to get killed on the streets with impunity. In the middle of a pandemic, as the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, Minneapolis is on fire. And no one wants this. No one really wishes for this to be the case in their community. This is the trauma of months, years, and centuries of pain, the kind of pain that compounds until all it takes is a spark, one last senseless, irrevocable loss. And in the middle of this situation, I wonder, do we believe in the Spirit's power to help us heal this broken world? Will we settle for self-protecting apathy, settle for unfit leadership, settle for state-sanctioned violence, or will we walk boldly toward that vision of Pentecost joining, that wild, unwieldy, uncontrollable joy that overtook those disciples, that powerful manifestation of the kingdom come? Friends, God took a poor, stubborn fool like Peter and made him the mouthpiece of a movement that caught fire in Galilee and spread throughout the world. God doesn't need more preachers or politicians or heroes. God just needs you. God needs you to join the throng of those who have witnessed to God's justice and love, that holy band of stubborn fools, that great cloud of witnesses that chooses life, not in spite, but in the face of calamity, not in spite, but in the face of persecution, not in spite, but in the face of war, in the face of great grief, and in the face of death and loss. Are you ready to join them, my friends? Are you ready to learn new ways of belonging and being together? Tongues of flame binding you to people that you didn't know and you didn't choose. Tongues of flame binding together Jew and Greek, male and female, Republican and Democrat, in a common mission, in a common life. You don't have to preach like Peter. You don't have to pray like Paul. You just have to tell the love of Jesus and to follow him, to let him lead you along roads you haven't traveled before. I can't tell you what that first step is for you, my friends, but I plan to walk that road with you. It may be that your first step is simply educating yourself, learning how to be in solidarity with those who struggle for racial justice, unlearning the habits of mind and speech that preserve the current order of things. That may be your first step. That may be your first step. And it is an important one. But don't let that be your last step. Sometimes we fall prey to the illusion that the accumulation of knowledge will save us. Sometimes we think that we're solving a problem simply by learning how to name, analyze, and dissect it. No, my friends, God wants more from us. To battle systemic issues, we need collective action. Organized communities with the strength to push for justice. Organized communities that use their power to bring people together, not break them apart. Organized communities that take action together. We are only strong when we come together, not just in warm feelings for one another, not simply in intellectual agreement so that we can look down on those who don't understand what we mean, but in collective, concerted, and sustained action. Let us work with our neighbors so that we can act before the next protest, save lives before the next vigil, take action before the rent is late and the bills are past due. Let us learn not just about power, but how to use it, how to wield it for the common good, rather than simply criticize it from afar. In the face of these crises, my friends, I do see some signs of hope. I see a growing network of 36 churches, mosques, synagogues, and nonprofits that pushed for a $5 million rental assistance fund in this county and won. I see an institution taking shape, a body strong enough to push the needle one step closer to justice, one step closer to love, one step closer to mutual care right here in our own backyard. I see people rallying around refugee families to make sure that they are safe and able to care for themselves in this crisis. I see a band of broken, stubborn, holy fools drawn from every tongue, tribe, people, and nation, each doing their part, caring for their neighbors, making room for new birth and hope. In the face of this broken, weary world, let us build, my friends. Let us build. Let us hope. And let us burn. Burn bright with the fire of Pentecost joy. Burn bright with love for our neighbors. Burn bright so that all the world may see. Amen.